Lord, we just praise you and we thank you. Glory be to God that we're able to come together again, once again on this night. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a good time in you tonight, Lord, talking about the things that you want us to talk about. Thank you, Lord, for all of our answer, all of our prayers being answered as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? I do. Let's pray for Sue. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command this thing that's trying to keep her from eating to stop right now in Jesus' name, to cease your attacks against her. And Lord, I thank you, she is hungry and she's going to eat anything and everything that she can from this point on. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that nothing's going to interrupt her eating from this day forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she is going to eat good, solid food and gain weight, and she's already healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, who else? Right. We have tonight, for your enjoyment, a pair of people straight from Nashville. Top performers on the Grand Ole Opry. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with this duo. Thank you, Lord, for Anna and Obie. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna and Obie. Amen.
Give me just a second here. I'm gonna make sure I get the lyrics in the chat and send it this time first. Last time I didn't hit send, apparently.
You want me to sing
Okay.
while you're waiting on you? No.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm not
Okay,
gonna do
it's too
that.
long. Give me just a second. Okay.
You're on national TV over there. Put the bird down.
I think
Yeah,
this is here. Hang on a second. Okay. You ready, Obi? Okay. Thank you, Lord. A war is being waged and the heat is on. The battle's in array and the foe is strong. I found myself outnumbered 1,000 to 1. But I do not walk by sight. I know the greater is he who is on my side. The giant in land looks too big for me, but I will praise the Lord for the victory, 'cause I believe his word over what I see, 'cause I do not walk by sight. I know the greater is he who is on my because the enemy is spread for me and given into my hand. The authority of the King of Kings is at my command, and I am more than a conqueror. My faith will stand, 'cause I. Obi, sorry. Why should I do that, okay? I'm sorry. 'Cause I do not walk by sight. I know the greater is he who is on my side. 'Cause the enemy is bred for me and given into my hand. The authority of the King of Kings is at my command, and I am more than a conqueror. My faith will stand, 'cause I am taking up my sword and taking my promised land. I was a bond servant to sin, but it brought me death. The sorrow of the world only worked regret. I left now of shame and guilt I could not forget. But I thank God through Jesus Christ, who brought me out of this death and into his love. 'Cause the enemy is bred for me and given to my hand. The authority of the King of Kings is at my command, and I am more than a conqueror. My faith will stand, 'cause I am taking up my sword and taking my promised land. All the power of darkness is under my feet. I am victorious 'cause of what Jesus has done. I can be fearless because God, the one who fights for me, leads me in triumph. 'Cause he said that the enemy has fled from me and given into my hand. The authority of the King of Kings is at my command, and I am more than a conqueror. Stand, 'cause I am taking up my sword and taking my promised land.
Obi. being silly.
God, that was good. I was singing along with you too. Obi, did you hear me? All right. That was a good song. Thank y'all. All right. Anybody else want to sing one? Pat? Ben? Andrew? Barbara? Missy or Julie? All right. Anybody got a prayer request? No? All right, Missy.
We're leaving tomorrow morning to go to my family's. We didn't go 2 weeks ago, because Merle wasn't feeling good, but we're going this weekend, and I just want to pray for, thank you, Father, for giving us safe travels and no fender benders, good gas mileage, a good time with the family, and I just bind every foul spirit in the midst of anybody's house that we go to, in the name of Jesus. And there's peace and joy in everybody's heart and love towards everybody in Jesus' name. And just cast down faction and criticism and anything like that in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for having an awesome time with my family, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I want to give a little testimony. Here lately, when I go out to the garden, especially in the evening, bugs are biting like crazy, especially like on your legs. It's almost like there's these bugs in the grass or something. Anyway, I was talking to my neighbor earlier and stuff. And gosh, we are both getting bitten up, you know? And I was just like rebuking it in my head, you know. And anyway, so I came in and I was like itching like crazy. And I just took a paper towel with a little bit of hand soap and wiped over my legs, you know. And I was just commanding the itch to go and go and go. And praising and thanking the Lord, and it's gone now. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I had to really use a lot of self-control to not scratch it, because that just makes it worse when you want to scratch. So praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Not under the curse. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, who's next? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, last time
We had some interesting discussions about our Lord and how people think about him. And of course, you were bringing up those times when you were seeing Jesus. And something happened there when you mentioned how understanding, I guess, the Lord is with us, and when he was waving to you and stuff or something. Or something in my mind just sort of like felt as if it was a release there. And it just felt really good. And, you know, because sometimes we get sort of all flustered with stuff. And it was something that I wish I could be in that sense of mind always. So that's what I would want. I want to pray for that, because I don't want to call it anxiety, but because there has been those times, you know, where you remember a verse and then it gives a release to you of some sort, that it goes away. And I just want the Lord to understand that that's what I want, more of that. I want to be in that state. I don't know if you can call it euphoria or with my Lord at all times. I don't know if there's, you know, as the verse says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And with all thanksgiving, so that, you know, it'll go beyond whatever you can think or ask. I remember when that was said once, you know, it was like a clarity, a clearing, a wonderful experience that I had. And I want to be that way, ready that way always, you know. It was like a feeling, yeah. But, you know, like it's a really sort of happy releasing feeling. That's what I want from my Lord, more of that, more of this releasing feeling of not trying yourself hard, but just to have this all done by God's grace through us, you know. Beyond whatever we could think or ask, to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it's like I was being in a good captive place at that point in time. I don't know what it was, but it was just so wonderful that it's kind of like it felt as if something was releasing out of my brain, you know, some little thing there that it wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. And you know, so I was, hey man, that felt good, you know. It's like my head was a balloon and someone was deflating it there for a while. You know, it's too much pressure, you know, you got to make holes in your head, I guess, for that. That's what the doctors want to do. But anyways, Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And I just pray, Father, that that beyond whatever we could think or ask, that you would keep us in Christ Jesus at all times. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that. And of course, we really want to be taught and reminded when we really need it. We can talk about it for a lot, but when we really need it, that's when we need it, Lord. And be with us at those times when we really need it, and give us words to say, and a good behavior that we're supposed to walk in all the time, because you are preparing these graces of good behavior for us to walk in. And we want to do that all the time. And we want that clearing and to be with you, because greater are you in me than what is in this world. And I am your son, and I am a Christ, and I want to be your good witness at all times. In Jesus' name I pray. And I pray that that my brethren would be given lots of love so they can love you back, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Who's next? Yeah, Pat.
So, Andrew, I don't know if it's sympathize or empathize. Maybe empathize would be the word. With your feelings, and I call them feelings, but with what's happening there. And my struggle, I don't know if you can call it a struggle. Well, the contrast of that. Of the Lord's presence being so strong in us, and contrasted with the scriptures related to overcoming, even as He overcame, and though that. That tends to be the dichotomy in my mind related to that. Because I feel like, well, I don't know what I feel like, quite frankly, sometimes, but that what you're saying is exactly what I have felt and desired to be. In God's constant presence. And I don't know if there's a place, a position, a place of faith that I need to learn to rest in, because He has already placed Him. And His spirit within us. So, obviously, practically or logic or theologically, He is in us here, and you can't get much more closer to that. So, but I struggle with the same thing as far as, that desire, to just say, Lord, just flood over me, flood over me and be so present in my life that these struggles become so easy to overcome, and they're down and they're gone, and but one side of me also thinks that if I don't learn to walk and rest in faith in some form here, th then I haven't, I guess I haven't learned to overcome the inertia of the carnal or fleshly life or whatever it is. That needs to be overcome in order to rest in that place. So I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense or whatever. I'm just kind of spouting about related to the kind of the dichotomy of the two positions or two thoughts there, So what do you think?
I just I'm patiently waiting for more. That's all, and I think we all are, because that's what it really says there in Romans chapter 8 and in 1 John chapter 3. We're children of God, and we want to manifest Christ more. And we we are recognizing our authority, I think, too. And you know, the feeling that I talk about is some, when I think of that, I think of those five kings that were killed, which is the five senses. Feelings is one of them, you know. But you know, you can smell things that are wrong. You can taste things. Oh, taste and see, you know, the people who don't see properly, you know. So I'm trying to elaborate these spiritual feelings that we're supposed to have. I'm trying to live in that place of sanctification, water the word and bearing fruit and stuff. So, you know, so many people just don't even think in the spirit anymore. You know, they don't want to hear. You know, it's like they don't have the ears to hear. We've been told some very, very wonderful salvations and some things that have cleared our understanding of in UBN on things that are pertinent to the future. We've been taught quite a bit, and I sometimes think maybe we are being tested more, and we have to three times pray for something and seek that grace. But that's my thought, and that's my prayer for everyone here. That's what I just prayed for everyone here, and I just thought maybe that's what we wanted to do for Pat too, or an additional prayer, or you know, I think it's ingrained in us to want that more of Christ. Of course, we know that people have two talents and they'll produce that 100%. Five and five. What if a person has one and only gets to produce one? At least he's doing 100%, you know. Maybe he can do the one and get a little bit of interest at the same time. At the same time, you know, we step into that cold water, into a disciple's name. We step into that righteous man's name. And we step into a prophet's name when you're in the midst of a prophecy or a prophet's word, and the name is all accumulating to the main name, and that's God the Father. It's what you were baptized into, and it's what we share in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. And so is it anxiety because I'm trying to be patient for this, or I don't know what I'm saying here really. And but you do feel that clearing sometimes, and you go, well, I guess it is working. And we dwell on how much more we have to have, but he's doing it for us. He's giving us that better mindset, that better sense of spiritual sense to discern with our eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and feelings, because the old man is supposed to be dead. And I picture those five kings and all the five senses have to be dead, and we have to promote our senses to be governed by Christ and governed by the peace that he gave to us, so that the two are made one, that's making peace. And and we have to be thankful for where we're, for what God's doing with us, you know. Yeah. Whether that time of oppression might come upon you and only you in the future, like it came upon Paul in his last days, or Peter, or John, for that matter. He survived his to be an example for us, that when they tried to martyr him in the Colosseum, he survived. He's comparable to the one that will be alive, taken up alive, and remain at the end. So either way, we give our total governance over to the Lord, as he's the one who's supposed to rule over our hearts, and to let the peace and the Christ dwell in us. So And you know, sometimes we get tired and daydream or something. But even going to work and being faced with these people around us, we understand that We don't fight against them, but the principalities and powers that might affect them. The same way he made Pharaoh, which is that first principality in the days of Moses and Joseph, Egypt's principality, taught some good lessons to the people back then, the same way the iron would today and the iron and clay that's coming. Because I think that iron nations went out now from since Columbus, and they were preparing iron and clay ever since. So, but in the last century, you know, the century before the one we're in now, there were items that happened that directed us into the path that we're in now to bring about the things we have learned from UVM to come to pass, and this is what we watch and be ready for. And the Lord has to be doing something with all of us, whether it is to attain, I don't know, a Moses and Elijah together. You know, Elijah, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, but he did a Moses when he judged Herod with the woman who danced for him. So it kind of comes together, those two witnesses. A witness is a witness. Jesus is a witness. We're all his witness. We have to be his witness. We have to have our eyes tuned, our ears, our nose, our mouth, our feelings to Christ. Because that's who we are now. The old man is dead. You don't let him speak. And the surety of our hope is sure, and it is firm, a firm foundation. Because that foundation is Christ, and we must continue, not by our own works, but by the works of God's grace he gives to us, so that we can enter that final rest. The thanksgiving in our hearts, and praise and glory to his name. Enter his rest with thanksgiving. You know, that's, he's supposed to rule your heart and mind anyway, so you step into the peace and into this one body to be thankful in that rest. We don't work. Our work is to rest in the Lord, and he does everything through us. And he is an almighty, powerful God, and he can make that happen when he makes it happen. He's going to do this because he can. We can. And it's just going to, that day is going to come where we step into the next glory. From 30 to 60, or from 60 to 100, or to become, perhaps just bigger stars. I don't know. But even the moon shines brighter on some days. When I think of the chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, to arrive at your sun, moon, or star glory, 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold fruit, I also think of Psalm 19, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, day by day at earth's speech. Do you go out on the balcony, put your ear up to the sky to listen to the daylight? Or do you see it? And do you hear it? And night by night showeth knowledge. The stars and the moons at night, that shows the knowledge. The glory of God's knowledge that God shares with you in accordance to Ephesians 3:16 and 17. You know that he's going to share that love with you so that you can love him. Because basically, you just want to love God. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Heaven forbid that any one of us would think to be greater than anyone else. other than the person who will be put in a position, that would be in a position as an overseer or a deacon, we would give them that because God would make us known that that person is in that position. It's not the person who gets the position. He chooses you to have the position. You don't choose the position. I just want to the illustrations in the word of one body, one spirit, you know, the illustrations on the two talents. When's the fruition of the next two or the five for the next five? Plus he gets an extra one. You know what? When's the end of it? When is it finally going to come to pass? When will we be a witness for our Lord in whatever capacity he wants us to be a witness in? And that's what I think about a lot. You know, and he will remind me of the verses of what's going on today that we're supposed to be watching for and to be ready for. You know, all those lessons and all those studies and all the Bible studies that are on site and on UBM and on YouTube and stuff. It's a joy to listen to them, and it's a joy to be reminded about them. And every once in a while we say, oh yeah, that was from way back there, you know. Is that memory still in me? Because you can get a remembrance of it, and you should, with the remembrance of it, add to the remembrance of it by allowing him to give you more, even at that time when he reminds you of something. But that's the way I think he wants us to. Well, that's what I want. You know, I want that for me, and I want my brethren to be strong in the Lord. I want them to be filled with his graces. I just don't know what more to say. It was a wonderful, it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time where I get this release or clearing of something. You know, maybe something did get out of me at that point in time. We're praying in the spirit for things. He can take us out of it. He can take us out of it, and we might not even know what it was. Do we necessarily have to know what he's clearing from us? Who knows? He might tell you later. Oh, I took care of that. You know, and he'll make you think it's your idea the same way a temptation comes, but you don't want temptation. You want God to change your mind. And he makes it think it's your idea too. It's you're supposed to be his son. I think it has to work that way, that the Lord has his way with us. We want to be a sheep. We don't want to be that goat. We want to be able to imitate God, imitate our Father. For him to even say we could do that is kind of exciting. When you take all the different things that you've learned, hey, he told me about that. And I'm supposed to be imitating him in that. And I'm supposed to cast down all the other imaginations that might go against it. So, praise and glory to God. I talk to you.
Amen. I do have to ask one question, Andrew. Who is it you're beating on while you're talking? I just hear this beating
Those are
on
all my fans. I
Okay. All right. Oh, gosh. I sent everyone a copy of A New Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon in your email. You should have a copy of it in there now. And I don't know if some of you may, if all of you saw the, I don't even know what that signal group chat is. Something, testimonies or something.
Testimony in words, something like that.
Yeah, testimony in words or something like that. But I had read this A New Kind of Love last night, this morning, and it was so interesting that I decided to start throwing some sentences out to the y'all on that thing. And finally, I just told you that it came out of A New Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon, and he had such a grasp on. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, good. The podcast microphone is working great. That I went ahead and threw some things out there in the chat, and then Missy put the audio book up there, which is good too. It's the same thing, it's just audio. And I just wanted to get y'all's opinion if you looked at it, not only the opinion, but I wanted to kind of go over some things that he said that were really pinpointed what might be wrong with the love that we have, instead of the God kind of love. We have a selfish kind of love. Is kind of what Kenyon was alluding to, or saying, actually. He said this: when we step out of love, we act contrary to the will of the master. Whenever we act outside of love, we act contrary to the will of God. And the reason why men could not love God and love one another under the first covenant was because the heart was selfish, dominated by spiritual death. And it was a, and we kind of went from there, and Missy put that up there, and then she had a little something that she said. I forget what she said, but it was, oh yeah, about the Jezebel spirit, was it, Missy? No, that was Anna. Oh, that was you. Okay. All right. You want to mention about that Jezebel spirit or not? That's okay if you don't. I mean, it's a chance for you to talk. That's the only thing I was doing.
I'm trying to remember what it was I said because it just,
Well,
you know,
you talked about the Jezebel spirit. I thought that
I
was Anna,
can't.
though.
Let me see here quick. It was like, this is what I wrote. The one thing that the Lord showed me is that a person who has a Jezebel
Oh,
spirit
yeah.
is so miserable because they use all kinds of means to get their way, like witchcraft, etc. They manipulate and, you know. And I don't, when I say that, I say they, I don't say she, because there's men that I know that are Jezebels. As far as I'm concerned, a Jezebel is someone who has taken a position of authority over other people that is not theirs, that hasn't been given to them
And
in the
why
first
is that?
covenant.
I think you
Why is
mentioned,
that?
yeah, because of selfish heart she has, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's where he went from there. And if he says the reason why men could not love God and love one another under the first covenant was because the heart was selfish, dominated by spiritual death. How many of you know that's true? That is probably 90% of most Christians, so-called Christians, problem with the Word of God. That's a lot of it anyway. It might not be 90, but it's a lot of it. And that is a selfish heart. When you don't have a selfish heart and you have a love of God and the love of God in you, then you're going to love people without any kind of blocked there, so to speak, because he loved even the people that came against him, he loved them. Yeah, Missy.
Oh, I'm still open. Anyway, I'm still open. It was something that I was thinking about was the fact that I've seen like in myself and in other people is that. Oh gosh, I lost my train of thought now. Help, Lord. Is that oh, I'm sorry, I lost it.
Well, that's
Help.
okay. I got
Come
something I
back to
want
me.
to do. I wanted to carry on about what Andrew was talking about getting close to the Lord. And I believe the reason that hinders us a lot is that selfish attitude that we, I'm not saying everybody, I'm talking about Michael, okay? I'll just talk about myself, is that selfish attitude of not wanting to sit down and just talk and forget about everything else. And to let the Lord minister to me and me ask questions, you know, because I'm distracted by this or that or whatever. When the most important thing in, I'll tell you, in my life is to get close to the Lord, is to do the things that He wants us to do, is to take Him everywhere we go and to not only get close to Him, but to act like Him. And to get that love that he has. And the way we do that is to study the Word of God and talk to him, have that intimate relationship with him. And if we don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord and listen to him when he talks to us, I've got a notebook over there that I can, every day that I sit down and I talk to the Lord, I write down what he tells me. And I can tell you there's days there that I just go blank. I'm just telling on myself. Because I didn't sit down and talk with him. Selfishness on my part. I believe that's what that is. That's selfishness on my part, not to give the Lord the first place in my life to sit down and to fellowship with him. And Lord, I just repent of that. And I thank you, Father, for this little booklet that shows me what love really is and where this. Where this distraction come from, it's a selfish life, it's a selfish heart. And Lord, I thank you that through the word and through your grace and through your mercy, we can all be overcomers. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. All right, Missy.
Okay, having said that, a selfish person, and I was there, always points the finger at other people and always w thinks it's the other person and tries to change the other person and even may not even realize that they're the per they're, who needs to change, but that's where that comes into play, what you're talking about, relationship with the Lord is nobody can change themselves or anybody else. The only one that can change us or anybody else is the Lord. And that comes through that relationship. And so that's what, what the Lord has shown me, and there's just I thank the Lord that he's delivered me from so much of that, not saying I he still shows me at times where I'm selfish and stuff, and I'll admit probably the biggest selfish areas. Like Michael's talking about, not making sure that the Lord comes first and not me first, And but it's so hard to see people being so miserable and so unhappy, and and having been there for one, but also just seeing it, seeing other people like that, and just trying to change everybody else and being so selfish, and they're so miserable and just bitter and angry and unforgiving, and it's just hard to watch people like that. And it just makes me pray for them, Lord, help them to see and repent and believe in you and know that you're the only one that has the answer. You are the answer, you know? So yeah, that's my take on all that.
Amen. Let me just he's got some wonderful things here to show us what he's talking about. He said the man was created by love to answer the heart cry of the Father God, and man outside of love is a failure. Selfishness is the blotting curse of humans. Love stops the rust of selfishness, preserves the home and church life from decay. Marriage is wrecked by selfishness. The home life disintegrates because the husband is selfish and the wife seeks her own. The children are born and grow up in that atmosphere. They go out into life handicapped. Love is God in action. There's no love without action. God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he acted. Jesus so loved that he acted. It would be a great day in your life if you would let loose love loose in you. It will mean letting God loose in you. His grace then would be without limitation. Increasing in love is like increasing in physical strength or knowledge. This would imply that there is a limitlessness, limitlessness to our ability to absorb, reveal, and give love. Love is the one thing in the human that never grows old, never wears out, and it's something as imperishable as the human spirit. Something so much a part of the Father that when we and the Father become united and utterly one, we pass out of the failure realm into the realm of resurrected Christ. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone. Love, in the final analysis, is wisdom. It has caused us to create, invent, and search until we have discovered things that will make others happy. Love will make us thoughtful, gentle, and tender. When we speak, there will be something in our voices that will win people to us. We will not only be in earnest, but we will speak wisdom and love. When we love people, it's easy to work for them. Everything that has life longs for love. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. If we haven't wisdom to use it, we're going to be failures. When love governs our life, we'll say nothing that injures anyone. I'll stop there, but I just thought that little booklet, if you get a chance, read that thing and understand that in his estimation and mine too, now that I read that thing, that selfishness is the key to getting out of fellowship with the Lord. And I'm not putting a trip on anybody. What I'd like to do is just let us all understand that selfishness has been a hindrance in a lot of people's lives because they didn't recognize that's what it was. When you think about it, if those of you who have been married and those of you who have children, that a lot of times the antagonistic how do you say it? Attitude in a household is created by one of two things. It's either selfishness or love. Does anybody not agree with that? I'm just seeking here. I'm looking. do y'all want to even talk about it? I'm just asking.
I agree with
Right.
what you're saying, Michael. I can see that. And one of the things I remember, even I think at the time I was, it was maybe legalistic or something, or it was just, religious or, something. But the scriptures, they know that about, oh gosh, Lord help us in Proverbs. I think anyhow, about it was just putting God first, and that what is that scripture? Lord, clarity of mind. Thank you, Lord, for bringing it back to my mind, what it is. First fruits, giving him the first fruits of all our of all of our increase. Like, it used to be in my mind, and maybe I was taught this or I just interpreted it that way, was that, like, he gets the first part of me, my life, every morning. And making that a habit, and that he gets the first fruits, the first the increase of the produce of the harvest and stuff, and so that was putting him first, like my time, that he gets my time first thing in the morning and that kind of thing, because that's where I want to spend my time first is with him, and he should be first. And a lot of times, in recent weeks, it hasn't necessarily been that way because I've just been so tired in the morning that I don't always want to get up and spend that time. And then there's, other things that are demanding my time. Well, I miss that window of opportunity. But then the enemy would try to condemn me about not doing that. So I had to try to overcome that thinking about, not making it a law. But at the same time, and he should be moved. Most important and put him first, and I would sacrifice whatever for him. And I just pray, God, that you would help me do that. And that you should be first in everything, and that we can't be selfish with our time. Like, I want to do this, or I think I should do this first, or whatever, but still not put a law on myself, because there are things when something happens, ministry calls or whatever. So something you got to do, and you weren't able to sit and spend time with the Lord, for hours or whatever, because you got to work, or there's a phone call, or there's a need, or whatever. So there's a balance, and Lord, I just pray you help us all, help me, just walk in that balance of with our time with you, and that you are our first love, and if you're my husband, and such, it's like, well, how would I want to spend my time with you? When I always want to serve you and be with you first, and everything else can wait. And that one song, I can't remember the author who sings it, but I miss my time with you. Those moments together, anyhow, sometimes I hear that song too often. Like, maybe the Lord was trying to get my attention in that. Well, but however you work and speak to me, Lord, let me be listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I get right with you, Matt or Anna. I wanted to share something with you here also. He said a home could not be destroyed, could not be destroyed if every member could be taught to take his place in love. The wife would never remember the past mistakes of the husband, nor would the husband ever remind the wife of unpleasant happenings. All the mistakes and failures of the past would be wiped out. What homes we could have. There would be no more quarreling over finances, no more bitter words, but each one would be walking in love. There has never been a divorce in a home where the husband and wife both walked in love. And this is the solution of the divorce problem. When selfishness is eliminated in us and love gains the ascendancy, we will not seek our own any longer. We will live as the Master lived in his earth walk. We will give ourselves for the redemption of the world as Jesus gave himself. I thought that was pretty telling there. I believe that in relationships is. There's a lot of selfishness on both sides. Okay, Matt or Anna.
It's me, Michael.
Okay.
I did want to say real quick first, you talked about just now about the if you forgave, that's Kayla. I don't know if you can hear her. There'd be no remembrance of wrongs. And the Lord spoke to me once years ago. I was so frustrated, because someone was doing something to me over and over and over, and it was just getting on my nerves. And I told them, I said, it'd be easy if this wasn't the umpteenth time, And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you would have forgiven those other times, this would be a first time offense, which obviously would make it much easier to forgive if it was one time. And I was like, oh, like whoa, like very humbled. But also I wanted to share a dream that I think goes along with this, if that's all right.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I had this dream a couple weeks ago, and when I woke up from it was pretty short. Can you hear me okay over Kayla? Okay. The Lord impressed me with two things. First off, that I wasn't personally about me, that it was, to share. And the second thing was that I need to share it with the outreach. And I was kind of like, okay, Lord, I don't know what this dream means. But as I meditated on it, I kind of got some understanding. And now with what you've shared, I think it goes along with it. And I think it's just a symbol of unselfish love and service that we need to have. So in this dream, I found myself, the dream started, I was newly married to this older man. And when I say older, I mean like he was at least old enough to be my dad. And so in the naturally speaking, it wasn't someone that maybe I would have chosen. But in the dream, I knew that God had brought me to this man because he was a faithful servant of the Lord, and that my job was to be his wife and serve him. And so I had no natural affection for this guy. Like I just found myself married this first day. I didn't really know him or anything. And I had all my kids with me, and in the dream it was just normal. And so I'm at his house, and it was a nice house, but it was very set up for a bachelor. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be a lot of work, adding me and all these kids to this man's life. And I found like this basin where he washed his clothes by hand because it was just one guy and he had so little laundry. And I was just so cheerful. I was like, wow, this is what God has me to do. If I have to wash all these kids and mine laundry and his laundry by hand, like that's not a big deal if this is what God wants me to do. And there were other things. And I was just so focused. I didn't have any romantic love for this guy because like I said, it was just like the first day. But I had so much agape in my heart. And like I said, I don't think this is personally about me, but me as a type, because the Lord really painted me out as this perfect person in the dream. But I had so much agape in my heart to serve this man. And because I knew that he was a child of God and he was a faithful servant. And I would just. Had so much, just whatever I could do to make his life easier. Whatever, I just wanted to serve him in every way, to meet all of his needs, to just make his life a blessing to be. And at first I was like, what kind of dream is that? But the more I've meditated on, and then with the things you've shared tonight, I was thinking, at first I thought maybe this it's a call for us wives to serve like that. But now I'm thinking, okay, this is more than that. This is the bride of Christ in general. How we ought to serve one another, obviously our husbands, of course, us wives, but just how we ought to serve one another. There was nothing in it for me. Not that, like, the guy was never around in the dream. I was just taking care of stuff. It was just this short scene of me taking care of stuff. But I remember thinking, like, there's nothing in it for me. Like, I'm not, say, in love with this guy. I'm not, expecting anything back. I just thought it was a really neat dream and it went together well. So, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would put all that in our hearts, Lord, that we would be that servant, Lord, that we would see one another as that, Lord, that we would know that each other are faithful servants of the Lord, and we would desire to be a blessing to them, to bear one another's burdens, to be well pleasing to you in this, Lord. This is what you did, Father. There was nothing in it for you, per se, Lord, when you did what you did. Or people are spitting in your face. There was no immediate retribution, or that's not the right word, but Lord, and just you had that kind of love, Lord, that you served, even Even Judas, Lord, you even washed Judas's feet. And I just pray, Lord, that you would put that kind of heart in us, that we would serve that way, Lord, unselfishly, and that we would have your love, and it would be a light to everyone around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I'm muted. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Anna.
Just something
Agree.
that's coming. Yeah, it was good. Thank you, Anna. Something was coming to me just, as you were talking. And I don't know what else was in the dream, but you shared that, you had to hand wash his clothing and that stuff, and he didn't really have that much. But what was coming to me are, our clothing, our garments is our works and things, and as the body, we're supposed to help each other with our, works, works and help wash each other's feet, like you mentioned with Judas, washing feet, even people we don't necessarily, we don't know that well or whatever. I mean, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, but you still treat each other regardless if you may be really close or not, but you help each other with their works if people need help being cleaned up somewhere, and even just pitching in with the responsibilities where we can help the body because we're body parts and we all need to help each other with our walk and even help, pointing out where things are need to be cleaned with our works. And I don't know, maybe that you got something else for that, or maybe there's more to the dream about what you were doing, but that's what's supposed to come into me about, the works and stuff and our garments. Okay, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Anna, I'm going to read what you put in the UBM testimonies and words. This was after I gave those little things out. She said, I just came across a note from last year, the other day, where the Lord spoke to me and said, hurting people spend too much time thinking about themselves. Woo! Bingo. Hurting people spend too much time thinking about themselves. How true is that? That's a that's real tr that's true.
It's like self-pity, woe is me, and look at all these bad things that have happened to me, and everybody hates me, nobody loves me, just go eat worms, kind of thing. And
Yeah, that's so true. A lot of rejection people have selfish hearts, because they've been hurt and they think they need a little bit of pat on the back all the time. When God wants us to do what? He wants us to grow up and love like He did. He wants us to love and to how do we get that love? Kenyon explains it in that little booklet. Go find out who Jesus was.
well, we get it from the Lord. He loved us first, and he's the
Absolutely.
one that gives us love. And
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I often think about there's no greater love than this, than a man laid down his life for his friend. And Jesus called us friend. And I often think about love one another as I have loved you, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's all love. You can't do that. Oh gosh, the first time I ever heard David say this, I was taken aback, and I had to think about it. I mean, I really had to think about what he said, and what he said was is something to the effect that you don't have to like somebody, but you have to love them. And I had to really think about that. This was years ago. I bet it was 8 years ago, easy. But anyway, I had to really think about that and what it And what came to me was is that agape love is not emotion, you know? And agape love is all those things that I said earlier. Laying down your life for one another, love one another as I've loved you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto, and love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, I mean, wow. You know, and you don't have to like somebody, but you have to love them. In other words, treat them the way you would want to be treated. You may not like them. You may not like their personality. You may not like the things that they say or they do, but you gotta treat them with love, you know, in love, agape love, like 1 Corinthians 13, you know. Love is not selfish, you know. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a biggie, you know. Like I said, I often think about all them verses, and it's like, you know, another thing that goes with that too, that the Lord often reminds me of and I think about is sow what you want to reap. Which goes along with do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What's that about mercy? There's no mercy to those who show no mercy, something to that effect. Just some thoughts on all that that I think about a lot. And ask the Lord for the grace to apply all that to my life.
Okay, if y'all don't mind, I'm gonna read just a little bit more of this. It's a lot of good stuff in this little old booklet. There's not a thing in the new covenant or in the finished work of Christ that does not belong to you. He's able to make you all that his great heart desires you to be. You have written yourself up as a failure for the last time. From today, this day, you step into the new ranks of the conquerors, the overcomers, the people who put things over, and let the world hear you confess what God's ability is in you. They've already heard your confession of weakness and failure. Now change your song and sing the song of a victor. To walk in love is to live in God. Faith grows in the atmosphere of love. Faith becomes a dominating creative force when love really rules. We rule diseases and circumstances as we walk in love. And it's no effort to believe. Love never tries to believe, never tries to have faith. The very word love suggests faith. Love makes our faith become limitless. And our greatest difficulty has been that we forget what we are in Christ. We remember what we've been. We remember what we were in the old life. We remember our failures, our weaknesses, and our lack. But we forget that the new creation is the end of failure because God has imparted Himself to us. And it's almost impossible for a man or a woman to be healed whose mind and heart are filled with hatred. We might live with a man or a woman for 40 years and not truly know the person. Only love opens the heart and reveals the depth of our nature. Unless we're born of God, we will not love. I'm going to say that again. Unless we are born of God, we will not love. We may feign love, play like love. We may try to imitate love, but we won't be successful. Love is reality. Selfishness is the outlaw in the realm of love, and it breaks into that realm. It seeks to dethrone love and take its crown. Selfishness is a robber, a bold, wicked robber. It makes men mislead. It breaks friendship. It wrecks homes. It runs churches. It destroys the fruit of love. And there's only one force able to conquer selfishness and destroy its effectiveness in the lives of men. And that force is the new kind of love. Natural human love turns through neglect to hatred, jealousy, and murder. Do you know what anarchy is? It is selfishness without restraint. It is the absence of God. It is man attempting to solve life's problem and leaving God out of his reckoning. And that makes him an anarchist. Anarchist, I'm sorry. This Jesus kind of love, it changes getting into giving. Did you get that? It changes getting, I want, me, into giving, you. It destroys the soil out of which selfishness finds its strength. He never unveils himself to those who don't love him. He was silent when they stripped him naked and crowned him with thorns. But he reveals himself to the lover. And a husband and wife who live in love would live in a heaven-like atmosphere, wouldn't they? And children who grew up in this atmosphere would never know what quarreling and bitterness meant. You see, the man who misses love misses the most beautiful thing that life has to offer. And what a thrilling fact. Love so fills us that fear has no place in our life. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That's some wisdom words there, words of wisdom, I should say. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm going to have to read that. That's one of those to ponder over because I'm still stuck back on page 3. I highlighted, well, you know what? The first thing I did is I wanted to read what selfishness, obviously selfishness is a state of being selfish. Selfish means of a person, action, or motive lacking consideration for others, concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure. The quality or state of caring only for oneself or one's own interests. And when you read that first, read that page 3, there's a statement there. It says, "It would be a great day in your life if you would let love loose in you. It will mean letting God loose in you. His grace then would be without limitation." And this kind of harmonizes with what we were talking about before, but there's something that he is saying is that he puts the onus on us to let, you know, to let God loose, let God, let love loose in you. So, the thought would be, the first thought I had was, ow. Ow. How do I let God's love loose in me? How am I binding it? If I'm not letting him loose, I must be binding him somehow. So there's, these are the kind of questions and thoughts that I mull over, because there is, there's a lot of times I read what authors say, and it always requires you to meditate and think on what the author said, and ultimately you have to go to how, or we know why, but you have to go to, all right, how do I do it? How do I do it? You can go into the any church, in modern church today, and you can listen to and you can listen to a lot of lovely words, and I hope I'm not sounding like I'm criticizing this or criticizing, the churches or whatever, but there's a certain, you gotta know how to do it. And it seems like, to me, it's that's where the struggle, if there is a struggle there, it's how to do it, how do I let God loose in me, type of thing. There's a scripture in Revelation 12:4. I'm sorry. It's the 12, Revelation 12, the releasing of the man child, the birth of the man child, and the woman. And if you look at verse 9, after the birth of the man child, the great dragon was cast down, as a serpent that he called the devil, Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. I think it means he was booted out of the jurisdiction of the heavenly realm that he's in right now, and came he ended up. The only motivating sphere that he was in the earth. And so, but, and the next verse was, I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation. Now is come the salvation. And so there's something happening here that there's a time element. It was before that, it wasn't what it is, and now it's something different. Now, I don't know what that difference is, but there's a time change something, because he's saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. And all of these things we already know are already in existence. And in degrees, it's functioning in people in the earth today, in various, but something different is happening here. As he said, now is come. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before God day and night. And then this is the part that kind of hit me, that is tied in with this. And they overcame him. They, the church, the body, the believers, overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and a resultant action that happened as a result of that. They loved not their life unto death. They loved not their life, their psuche life. I'm assuming their soul life, their this life on the earth. They loved it not, even unto death. And that freedom, how that, where that transition, or if there's a transition, the resultant of that, the result of that transition was in these believers, they loved not their life unto death, which is exactly, if they loved not their life, they loved others. They weren't self-focused, they were outward focused. And so, how to get from what Kenyon here is saying, let love loose in you. It will mean letting God loose in you, to getting to that place of loving not your life even unto death. How does that how does that happen? How does that transition happen within us, with us? I guess that's, and when I say us, I mean me as a human being. What makes, how does that transition take place? And yes, I am ready for it. But anyway, that's kind of what was hitting me.
Amen. Well, how do we get to that area where we our focus is on Jesus all the time? And that is what? Reading, studying the Word of God. Keep looking, see how Jesus lived. Studying Him. The more of that Word that you get in you, the more of the love is going to be in you. My internet connection is stable. Get out of here. He says, what Jesus did, you can do because you have his nature and his ability. And if you have his nature and ability, his ability, he's already told us that. All we have to do is just believe, right? And start doing what the word says. It says, you can give, but your eyes will condemn. You can speak loving words when the stone in your voice is so sharp and ragged that it tears and wounds. I know none of y'all never done that, but I have. In love, we think we're going to correct you real easy like, but I'm going to do it in a way where you know it's a correction. Has anybody ever done that? No, I know y'all hadn't done that. He says, there is a home end to your business. Unless you put love there, it will fail and break down. said the cross was love's method of war on sin. The cross was love unleashed, let loose, set free from every anchorage. It was love becoming weak and love accepting defeat. Boy, that's a one you ought to put in stone. It said you will need love more as you grow old. Then store it up, hoard love, until when the hour of need comes, you'll be able to draw on it. Then you will have it. Real love will destroy all that is unreal. Sham cannot abide in the light of love. Selfishness is destroyed in the heart when love takes over life. Self-preservation is the first law of selfishness. And the preservation of others is the first law of love. That's a strong statement there. I'm going to say it again. Self-preservation is the first law of selfishness. But the preservation of others is the first law of love. I'm just going to make a confession here. A
Michael,
lot of
what
times,
page are you on?
I don't think you and I have the same pages. You talking out of page 3 a while ago, and I didn't see nothing like it on page 3. This is a booklet. I've got it in a booklet form, so I don't know if you have or not. I'm on page 15.
Okay.
It's right at the top if you got the same deal. Selfishness is the mother of practically all our miseries. Most of our tears are born of selfishness. Love makes one lighthearted, companionable, and helpful. The Jesus kind of love is God's cure for every ill. Love lifts one out of the realm of the senses, the flesh, into the realm of the spirit. Human love is the most beautiful flower that humanity has naturally, but it is a poison flower. It has caused heartaches, divorces, the broken homes, the wrecked families that disgrace our civilization. The Jesus kind of love has never broken a home. It has never wrecked a life. It has never made a criminal out of a single child. And this should awaken thinking men and women. And the moment that one becomes love-minded, he becomes broad-minded, God-minded, humanity-minded. He sees the need. Praise God. Is that the same thing you got on your page 15, Pat? Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Missy, go ahead.
The Lord showed me several years ago, and this I put in the chat when Michael was putting stuff in there. There's nothing more miserable than thinking about myself.
Yeah. That's true.
He reminds me of that now and then. Why are you so like out of it right now? Because I'm thinking about myself.
Well, that's true. You make yourself miserable by thinking about yourself. And I'm not speaking of you, Missy. I'm speaking of all of us. And that is so true. That's a great way of putting it. Anybody else got any tidbits here on God's love and what selfishness can do to us? He says, when we become love-minded, we actually take Jesus's place. If we live in love, we begin to bear the fruits of love. The fruit of love will be in the actions and the conduct and the words that are born of love. The days of hating, of jealousy, of bitterness, and revenge are past. This Jesus kind of love is the answer to the heart cry of childhood, of youth, of manhood, and of old age. It'll take the bitterness out of your heart and soften the lines of the face. It will make the husband and wife more content, more than content, with their own home, because this love is a home builder and a home preserver. This is God's method of protecting marriage. This is God's method of protecting childhood and motherhood. When the Jesus kind of love gains the ascendancy in the hearts of husband and wife, no other law is necessary to preserve the home. And the old human love is based upon selfishness. It can easily turn to hatred, jealousy, bitterness, and even murder. But the very provocations that would make the old love turn to bitterness make the new kind of love more beautiful. It seeketh not its own. It bears with all kinds of persecutions and bitterness and never sinks to the level of its provocator. Whew, glory to God. Love promotes health. Love is, God is love. God is my healer. Love is the healer. Now, I can understand why bitter thoughts upset the stomach and disturb the circulation of the blood. Whew, glory to God. And I can understand now that there is only one sin for the believer, and that is to step outside of love. All other sins are the children of the mother sin of sins. I'm going to say that again. I can understand now that there is only one sin for the believer, and that's to step outside of love. And all other sins are the children of the mother sin of sins. So we need to learn. I'm adding some words in here, so if you're following along, you see that I am. So we need to learn to think in terms of love. Learn to give in love so that the background of your life, the mother of your actions, is love. This Jesus kind of love. Get love's language. Learn it. Let it displace the language of the world. He loved, you love. He died for them, you live for them. He is in you, the lover of men, loving through you. And it's giving love its place in life. Love must be first. The believer moves in love. It is the center of his being. And love has all the earmarks of Jesus. And it's love that covers up the failings and weaknesses of those about it. It never talks unkindly. Never bears a tale. Uh-oh. It is the unfeigned love that loves from the heart fervently. A love that lifts us out of the commonplace into its own realm. The natural human love is born of selfishness, and when that selfishness is thwarted, it becomes miserable. I'll stop there. Go ahead, Missy.
I have to think again because I was thinking about what you were saying and then I lost my thought. Oh my gosh.
No,
Come
you
back.
Didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't lose it. We believe in the person we love. And it's hard for us to doubt where love has found a nesting place. And it'll be a victorious hour when we learn to believe in love. And it's something that lifts us into a realm above the senses or the flesh, where we trust in unseen forces. All right, go ahead, Missy. Better get you while you're still thinking about it. Thank
Well,
you, Lord.
I forget what it was you said that triggered this. You said... love is, oh gosh, how did you say that? Anyway, what came to me is, Oh, you said love is first. And I think that's what you said. And what came to me is God is love. And making God first is love. You
Amen.
know, he's making me, he wants me to be in his image, and the epitome of that is love.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
Well, I kind of reminded Ben of a verse in 1 John 4:17, and that's where it says God is love. And 4:16 of 1 John. And that's a real good verse there. About walking or abiding in God and abiding in love at the same time. So I just forgot to download my Bible, and I don't have it up now. So if I was to put it up, it might take me a while. So maybe someone can look it up in 1 John 4:16.
What verse did you say, Andrew?
1 John 4:16.
4:16.
You got it,
Okay.
Pat?
And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love. And he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him.
You know, I'm just
Amen.
thinking there's so many other verses where he's over all, in all, and through all, you know, and he's just telling us how to do that now. And he has to draw us into this love too. You know, when we first heard, it was a love from God to us to be part of the family. And he brought us forth in through his love, through this love that Jesus did, through the love that he did at the cross and resurrection, because the Father told him to, and he gladly took up his cross and went for it for us. And you know, no one can come unto the Father unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's kind of like a preamp to the love, you know, like we want an open door for love to pass through us to go to love the people so that they can now have that love of God in them. Anyway, that's what I'm getting anyway. So, you know, if you look at some of the instances, like when Peter is being prepared on the housetop, and then he God's preparing him. Does he know what's about to happen? Does he know Cornelius's buddies are going to come? Does he know that all of that's going to happen? You know? Well, not really, but God is kind of leading the way for him to walk in his love, to go to Cornelius. It's going to take 4 days for these people to do, 2 days to Joppa, and then 2 days to the city where Cornelius is. And he has a wonderful testimony of seeing an angel, and he's explaining this to Peter, and Peter brings the gospel out, and they start receiving it and speaking in tongues, and everything is choreographed by God, because he is sovereign anyway. And I think that that's kind of love, because you know, if we're going to be in love, then the love will function through us, right? I guess. Anyway. That's about it.
All right, yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
Way earlier. And I didn't get a chance to get this in, but when you there's something you said about abide in love, and these verses came to me. John 15, 9 and 10, and probably 11. Even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be made full. It's just, it's like, it's a joy. It's a joy to love the Lord. It's a joy to love others and not think about yourself and be miserable. Just saying.
Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I was just reading those verses that Andrew mentioned, and it I'm gonna read a couple of them real quick, but
Sure.
the First John 4 is definitely First John 4, 7, beloved, let us love one another. And this is re reminds me of the fact that Jesus he create he said a new commandment I give you, and that commandment is to love one another. As I've loved you, something, he gave us a new commandment, not only supported and delivered us, the whole new covenant relationship with God relates to that new commandment that he gave us. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein is love manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Every one of these verses are good, but I want to go down to this matches what Missy was saying. No man has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is perfected or completed in us. If we love one another, that's that new commandment that Jesus gave us. If we love one another, God abideth in us. 13, hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And this is the one that I was thinking about. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he is in God, and we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. It's not saying, and God who is loving us, or from him to us, but he's actually put that love, his love, in us. Just to match that verse back up in 12, no man has said, behold God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is completed in us. I'm just meditating out loud here. Then, herein is love made perfect or complete with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect or complete love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I'm gonna stop there, but it's to me it's saying that God, that our focus upon God, upon his word, is lived out by loving one another. By loving one another. And that's where that love is perfected, because it comes out of us where he dwells, where he is dwelling from. It comes from him out of us. And in that process, there is no fear left. There's no fear there, because perfect love obliterates fear. And fear, not the fear of God or the love of God, but that's the fear of losing, one's life, which is exactly what we're talking about, selfish. The fear, or that fear requires that we protect, or we hold on to it, this life. We hold on to it, we preserve it, we protect it. The opposite of, and that fear dictates that we should preserve and hold on to our own whatever thing, life. And it and I'm kind of spitballing here and meditating out loud, but it's exactly what we were saying before about letting the love be released, letting it go, So I don't know. I'm going to meditate on these verses. Thanks, Andrew. That was good, a good memorizer, good to bring back to my mind. Father, just thank you, Lord, and ask you that you would connect the dots, connect these verses, these scriptures, allow us to meditate, and give us your perspective. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and awareness of the very love that you have within us, and grant us wisdom and grace to release you from within ourselves and express this love, casting out all fear. And I thank you. I embrace that. I embrace you, and I thank you and pray for my brothers and sisters that you would pour out that love within us and allow it, and give us grace to allow it out to permeate into others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption and the remission of our sin. Forget the past. Start walking in the now, in the present now. Right now is present. So that's how we do it. We just believe by faith that God has cleansed us already. Not only that we walk in love. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to believe that he's working that work in us. And I believe he is. I believe it every day. I get up and I say, Lord, I thank you that today we're going to go out and look like Jesus, act like Jesus, and talk like Jesus. Come on, Jesus, let's go. And most of the time he's out there in the hall waiting on me. So, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. Because I know that this love that you're talking about is the catalyst for a good, wonderful work that's coming up. We're going to need it. That love also will root out fear. It'll get rid of the fear. When the days ahead are coming, you see nothing but death and destruction before you, you'll just go like Jesus. Praise God. All right, Julie, go ahead.
It's just something that was coming to me. You know how Jesus came in the, Father's name and to represent who God the Father is, and Jesus is love because God is love, and he demonstrated everything that he did was love and compassion, and he healed people, didn't deserve it. He set the, even there were, we've heard David say this in teachings, but you can read it yourself. It's like, these people were all in sin, and they, the but they were in desperate need of a savior, and he came at the appointed time when, the people were in such desperate need of help, and the wickedness that was, I'm sure that was going on then at that time, was how many people were so oppressed with demons. He healed everybody of sicknesses and diseases and infirmities and cast out demons. I mean, that was the majority of his ministry. And it's like, history repeats, and that's the kind of, I think, the circumstances the day we're in right now. People are full of demons, they're sick, they're needy, and we need faith worketh through love. And we have to be have demonstrate and be the love of Christ with the compassion of Christ and the ability to love and look past their whatever, what we might be critical or judgmental or anything like that. God doesn't hold their sins against them because they don't know what sin is. They don't know that they're unforgiveness. They don't know that they're in, bondage to the devil. They don't have an understanding of these things, but Jesus healed them anyway, and he delivered them anyway, and he fed them and ministered to them and taught them and all these things. And that's what the body of Christ, that's what the bride's going to be doing. So it's like, well, we do need your love in us. We need that to manifest in us so we can be who we're supposed to be, to minister to the very, very needy people that we meet every day, but even in the days ahead without anointing God. So we need your help to be love, to be your heart of compassion, that you did everything because you love, and you demonstrated the Father's love because that's who you are. I and the Father are one, you said, and we're one with you. So we're the same. We're the same as you. So thank you, Lord, that you're filling us with all of the word and the nature, character. As we have your divine nature, we just need to believe it, that that's really who you are in us, that you will do those works in the today and the days ahead, Lord, of ministering through love and faith and knowing that it's done because you came to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted. And that's what we're going to do too, Lord. And it's Christ in us that does it, and it's Christ in us who gets all the glory. And we want to honor you and love and obey you and all these things, Lord. So fill our hearts with love and compassion, your mercy, your grace, and that we do all things in your name to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Believe that prayer, and I believe it for everybody here. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? We got just a few minutes left here. Lord, I thank you for.
Can I play a
What?
song before we go out? It's a really good song.
Go ahead.
It's about 4 minutes.
All right.
You can.
You got it. Do you need this AI companion to help you? Okay. I'm scared of him too. Not scared of him. I just don't want to use him. I'm gonna keep him tied up. Are you gonna play it? Are you ready? Okay, good. Nothing showing up.
I pray into the atmosphere, Spirit of God.
I'm sorry. There's
What
something.
happened?
There's something going on with my mouse. I apologize. Let me try it again. Doing weird things.
No, it's not. Jesus' name. It's going to work like it's supposed to. It's going to punch what you want it to punch. Glory to God.
Into the atmosphere, Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. In the mighty name of Jesus. Calling on the power of heaven, I proclaim every weapon formed against me, it must break in the mighty name of Jesus. I draw a permanent boundary line, the enemy.
Amen. That's a good song. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, we're out of time. I love y'all. See you. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you.